This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, my name's Kaylee. I'm from Glasgow. I decided to join the community, and I can honestly say it is the best gift I've ever given to myself. The support you get from Shaz, Ben and the community members is second to none. The forums are great. We cover a lot of topics in there and we have a laugh, but ultimately we're there to support each other. Being able to access the forums via the app on the go is so helpful. If you're out and about and you have a wobble or you're having a bad day, there's always someone there in the forum who has felt like you feel and can offer some support and advice. The game changer for me has definitely been the Zooms. I still remember how nervous I was joining that first Zoom, but within 5 minutes, I would feel at ease. I absolutely love them and look forward to them now. Everyone on there is so lovely. There's no judgment at all. Everyone's got a different experience and different drinking habits, but we all have so much in common. I would urge anyone who is listening to this podcast who wants to take a break from alcohol to give it a go.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello, hello, hello. That's three hellos, you'll find out why shortly. We are Young and Sober. We take over this podcast once a month over the Influence. I'm Joey, 26 years old, sober for over 3 years now. I'm here with Charlie. Say hello, Charlie.
Hi.
How long have you been sober for, Charlie?
I've been sober for almost 20 months, so just over a year and a half.
Amazing. And yeah, three hellos today because it's not just us two, is it? There's somebody else that we're talking to. We are talking to a wonderful person named Maisie. Maisie's 22 years old. She's been sober for how long was it? Just over 100 days? Something like that?
Yeah, 101 days.
101 days. Fantastic. And you know her quite well, don't you, Charlie?
I would assume so.
Yeah. Tell us.
So Maisie is my little sister. She's written a few blog posts over the Influence now. And in this episode, we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk about when me and her went to AA together, that kind of experience as a young person. We're going to talk about sex and relationships, you know. it's quite funny now that we're sober, we're both very open and honest about that kind of thing. I think when I was drinking, I was a bit too ashamed to ever talk about that kind of thing with any of my family members, including my sister. And a few months ago, Maisie was actually hospitalised for mental health reasons, and a lot of that was tied up with drinking. And obviously she's going to talk about this as well in the episode today, which, you know, is really, really, really brave of her. And I think for me as her sister, obviously it was really hard to watch that happen and to know that, well, I know that it's not just the result of the alcohol. Like, we went through stuff together as kids and throughout our whole life, and, you know, she's got various other struggles as well. But to know that, like, drinking was, like, a big factor in the fact that, you know, my little sister was in hospital for, I think, almost 2 months, that was really, you know, that was really hard for me. But she handled it so well. She was so brave and, you know, she came out of it so much stronger, and I'm so, so proud of her. And, yeah, for that reason, I really can't wait for today's episode. I think it's going to be great.
It's going to be great. And it just goes to show, doesn't it? It doesn't really matter how old you are or what else you've got going on in your life. Alcohol's almost always there. It's almost always going to have an effect on you to some degree. And yeah, this will be a really interesting episode. We'll see what it's like as a really young person, even younger than us.
Yeah, she just turned 22.
Yeah,
no, it's. I think it does kind of show. I think she knows this as well, like how both of us, you know, were kind of taken a bit off guard by alcohol and, like, sort of realised quite abruptly, both of us, that we kind of had a problem and it didn't matter. Like, I was, how old was I when I was 22 when I stopped drinking, and Maisie was 21 because she's only just turned 22. And yeah, it just shows, like, that there's no kind of age limit. You don't have to let it get, like, you don't have to let it go on for years and years for it to get really bad, you know? Like, that can happen out of nowhere. It can happen to anyone of any age who's had any experiences. And that's why, you know, I think it's really important to have this kind of voice to show people that that can happen, and not to warn people, but to just like kind of open that conversation and make it less of a stigma for it to have happened. And then that hopefully would kind of trickle down and make other people think about their drinking at a younger age, rather than just being like, oh, well, I'll deal with that when I'm older, you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah. That is the perception that most people have. It's like, eh, I'm young. Let's just have fun while we're young. Let's just get fucked, whatever. I'll deal with this later. Yeah. But you can deal with it now too, and it's a great decision to make.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And there's like a sense of, I think when you're young, there's a sense of like this immortality. Like, nothing could ever hurt me. Like, nothing bad will ever happen. Like, my health will be, like, my health's great. Like, I'm young. Like, I don't need to think about all these things. But, you know, anyone can have an accident. Anyone can... like, for all these things that can happen from drinking can happen to anyone of any age, whether it's the first time you drink when you're 13 years old, you know what I mean, or it's like the last time you drink when you're 75. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it is a kind of issue that's applicable to all ages, and I think it's really nice to be able to talk to obviously my little sister. So she feels a lot younger than 22 to me, because she's my younger sister, and I, you know, I'm obviously, I'm protective over her. So in my head, she's still like 15.
And she's gone through everything she's gone through, and you're like, whoa, you're only 15.
Yeah, it's like, crazy. Wow, you're so young. No, but she's great and she's so brave, and I'm really proud of her and excited to talk to her today.
Yeah, so let's bring her in, shall we?
Let's bring her in.
Let's talk to her. Joined with someone else.
No, we have. I'm really excited about today. We are have the first guest of the season, and she just happens to be my sister, and her name is Maisie. Say hi, Maisie.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks.
Let's dive right in. You're here today. You're sober now, right? How long have you been sober for?
101 days.
101. Yes, that's what we like to see.
That's a really cool number. Mate, obviously I know you very well, but Joey doesn't know you so well, and all the people out there listening don't know you so well either. So do you want to just like go back a little bit in time to, you know, when you started drinking or when you were drinking in the past, and sort of tell us what led up to you getting sober?
I guess I started drinking when I was about 13. I wasn't so into drinking when I was that much younger, but when I was around 16, I started to drink a lot more, and because all my friends were doing it, and then I turned 18 and started going out all the time because all my friends wanted to just go out and drink and stuff, and I couldn't really say no. So that went on until this year, when I ended up in hospital. And I realized, you know, I had to stop drinking because I did not have a good relationship with alcohol. And I basically went cold turkey while I was in hospital, which was a bit messy, but, you know, it was definitely worth it because all the drunk experiences I've had, it's definitely worth getting sober after all of that.
It's definitely worth it. Amazing. I like that a lot.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, yeah, what was it like? Obviously, you know, you can say as much or as little about this as you like, but what was it like kind of being in hospital and having to be sober and kind of figuring all those things out whilst you were actually in hospital?
It was quite difficult because at first I was very confused because I was in hospital, but I was influenced by you. So
Thanks. So
I kind of spoke to Charlie about everything. She gave me some good tips on not drinking and stuff. And I kind of just went over with like hospital staff, like, you know, ways to help myself with not doing that. And I guess after like a month, I was actually quite happy not drinking because I was quite ill for like the first part. But yeah, it got easier.
You said you started drinking when you were 13. That's so young. Like, for me, I started when I was around like 16 or so. But 13, like, what was it like? What was it that made you initially want to start drinking and whatnot? Was it just the people around you or what?
I guess, I don't know. My mom was out one night and Charlie had some friends over.
Don't blame me.
So we're blaming
Charlie. I'm not blaming Charlie. No, but she was drinking with some friends, and I decided to steal alcohol out of the fridge. I was with my friend, and she was like, yeah, let's get drunk. And I was just like, okay, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, all these years later, you're like, funny if I didn't get drunk that first time.
So ultimately, was it being in hospital that was like the main turning point where you think, this is my reason for quitting? Like, I need to stop doing this and make a change.
I think when I was in hospital, that's when I realized that I needed to stop, because before that, I didn't actually realize, like, I was kind of just stuck on a loop of like getting drunk all the time and avoiding my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I guess going cold turkey in hospital kind of like opened up my eyes a bit to see, you know, like, wow, this is actually a big problem. But I think if I wasn't in hospital, it would have been a lot harder for me, because obviously in the hospital, we weren't allowed to take in like alcohol and stuff. So it would have been a lot harder for me to quit if I wasn't in hospital. I mean, if I didn't go into hospital, I don't think I would have been able to manage to quit.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's really important to say that, like, you know, there is support out there for people who kind of need it in the early days. And some people do really struggle in the early days. And it's not just like it's easy for absolutely everyone. Like, there, people have all sorts of different relationships with alcohol, and there is kind of support out there that can help you. And obviously, like, you being in hospital wasn't just to do with drinking, but you sort of realized that like drinking was having a big effect on you. So do you want to just talk a bit about kind of your mental health, like before and after drinking and stuff like that?
My mental health was bad. Like, it was slightly bad before I even started drinking. And then I guess while I was drinking, it gradually just got worse, and like my anxiety increased to the point I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. And since I stopped drinking, I guess it's been a lot easier for me to actually do things. Like, at the weekend, I went to London on my own. That was a bit crazy, but
oh,
it was a good experience.
I like that. That is. That's going outside of your comfort zone. That's what being sober is all about. Good for you.
Yeah, so kind of just made it a lot easier on my anxiety, because you think that like being like having a drink would kind of like relieve the anxiety, but it does in fact just make it worse.
Yeah,
you mentioned earlier you're stuck in a loop avoiding your emotions, and me and Charlie instantly went yeah, you know that, been there. But good for you. Like, it always is hard in the beginning, doesn't it? It does get easier over time. That is one thing that I really wish people who are struggling to think about going sober, struggling in the first few weeks, really did realize it will get easier over time the more you do it. And Maisie, you're living proof of that, mate.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you're only 101 days in. Like, it's only going to get better from, if it's already got so much better for you now, like, imagine how much easier it's going to be, you know, 6 months, a year in, that kind of thing. Like, it really does just get easier and easier and kind of more second nature. But what would you say, like, how do you think sobriety has sort of changed your life or impacted your life?
I guess it's kind of made me sort out my head a bit, get myself like right into like what I want to be doing in life. And it's made me better with relationships and stuff, mm-hmm. and kind of made me more independent. And when I was drinking, I just spend all my money on alcohol.
Yeah.
Which was not good, but it's been there's obviously been some really good impact on, you know, becoming sober. So
you mentioned like what, like, it's made you realize kind of what you want to do with your life and stuff. What do you mean by that? Like, what have you realized that you want to do with your life since going sober?
Well, obviously the writing part, I've gotten back into writing a lot. And when I was drinking, I was just like, nah, I can't be arsed.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten back into that, and you know, I've kind of made a big thing of like what things I could do in life, like things that I'm actually capable of doing, yeah. That I wasn't really looking at properly before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I really like what you just said right there, like, there are so many things that you realize you absolutely love doing when you're sober. And it's like, you weren't even thinking about it while you were drinking, because not only can you not be arsed, it's just not on your mind. Like, on the forefront of your mind is, when's the next drink coming in? When can I next go out and get fucked? And then you go sober and you realize, okay, I'm not going to go out drinking anymore. I'm going to do loads of other stuff instead. What is all that other stuff I want to do? Well, I'm going to go out and do all the stuff that I enjoy. Like, you want to go traveling, you want to go to London solo, you want to do all the things that you love, like writing, like creating things. It just opens up so many doors, and it really allows you to fulfill your potential and just live the life that you've always wanted to live.
I read something the other day about, like, you know, what you actually like doing, what you enjoy doing. And it said, it was a quote on Instagram. It said, alcohol, like, makes you tolerate people and activities that you don't actually like enjoy doing, people you don't like hanging out with and stuff. And
me and Charlie are massively nodding our heads right now. It's spot on.
It just helps you to tolerate things you don't actually like.
It's like, why, when people are like, oh, you're so boring, you don't do XYZ anymore, it's like, well, have you considered the possibility that I never actually liked doing those things? Or, like, you know, if you would never ever do something sober, doesn't that say something? Doesn't that say that you don't really like it, or it's not really for you? And, like, that should be okay, but it's just like, the culture of, especially within young people, is just like, well, that's just what people do for fun. Like, if you don't like doing that for fun, then there's something wrong with you. But that's not true at all.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, isn't it? Because I get so many people saying to me, like, oh, how can you go on nights out sober? Like, how can you do that and not drink? It's like, if you only enjoy something when you are drinking, isn't that a sign saying you don't enjoy this as much as you think you do? It mightn't be that you don't enjoy it at all and you never want to do it at all, because I still like going out and going to bars and clubs and things like that. But obviously, when people say, oh, I could never do it sober, well, if you need alcohol in order to do something, that's more of a crutch than anything, than an enabler, than anything else.
Yeah, you mentioned there, Joe, about, like, liking going out and stuff like that. What do you think about that, Maisie? Do you, like, still like going out? Like, what kind of is your social life? What kind of differences have you noticed in your social life? And do you still like going to that kind of scene or not really?
I like going to, like, pubs and bars and stuff, but I don't enjoy going to things that are, like, crazy like I used to, like going to raves and stuff.
That's
a bit, like, too much, But I kind of just widened my range of, like, activities, and I've kind of just tried finding things that I never, like, normally did, and kind of got the grasp of, like, putting those into my routine. And, like, when I went to that AA meeting with you, Charlie, that was, like, something new for me, but I really enjoyed it. It was something different. So I just... I've been kind of like trying to do things to help myself and like do things to like help other people too. So just like going out and like doing something that I don't actually enjoy doing.
You mentioned there about going to an AA meeting with Charlie. I'm curious as to your experience of that. What was that like? Because when you see, for example, in movies and TV, the big AA meeting, people sat in a circle, you never really see young people. Like people in their early 20s, for example, in an AA meeting, it's almost always people that are a fair bit older, or maybe just a bit older. But still, as a young person thinking about going sober, thinking to yourself, oh, do I want to go to AA? It might be a bit intimidating, might be a bit uncomfortable. But what was your experience of that like?
It was a bit, I was very nervous to go. Charlie can back me up on that. But after hearing people talk and they were like, really welcoming and stuff, it was good to like hear like other people's stories and like their experiences and stuff, and being able to relate to some of that stuff considering they're like a lot older than I am.
Yeah, that's really good. So do you think that if, because like we said earlier, when you first start out going sober, stopping drinking, it's hard. It gets easier, but it's hard in the beginning. Do you think one thing that can make it easier is to surround yourself with people who are similar than you, people who are also trying to stop drinking? And maybe not surround yourself, but just try and look for it. Maybe on social media, maybe watch something on YouTube that's about it. Do you think that's a helpful thing that'll definitely make it easier for people to go sober?
Yeah. Since I've gone sober, I've found people on Instagram who are sober and like they're really nice and welcoming and stuff, and they're really supportive. Yeah, I guess kind of like sort of surrounding yourself with that kind of environment is actually like quite good for you. Like that's kind of what I enjoyed about being in hospital. Like everyone's there for like the same reason, and you know, no one's there to judge you. So I kind of just like, I've kind of stopped talking so much to the friends who just enjoy going out and like getting fucked, and just finding new friends basically, and who are like going down the same path as I am.
Yeah. See, that's the thing, the sober community, we are supportive, not just here at Over the Influence, the entire sober community. Yeah. There's no one that's going to judge you, no one that's ever going to be mean to you. We're all here supporting each other. And you mentioned just there about how you stopped talking to some friends that just like going out and tried to find new friends. Was that difficult at all? Like, was that something that made you think, oh, I don't want to go sober because I might lose friends? Or did you think, no, I'm going to try and go sober because now I can gain new friends? Was there a worry there at all?
It was like a slight worry because I was thinking like, what if like my friends think like I've got boring or something? But like, I guess because I don't live like in the same town as them anymore, I guess I'm not kind of stuck in that crowd anymore anyway. So like since I got sober, they're actually like really supportive about it. And they like ask me for like tips and stuff. Which is really nice.
Now Maisie has influence. We all have influence here at Over the Influence.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's really interesting actually. Like I definitely like lost some friends and became less close with certain friends. But even the ones that I went out with a lot, I did find they were really supportive of my sobriety sort of overall, even if we kind of had less in common. And yeah, I've had kind of similar experience to you, Maisie. Like, you know, the friends that I thought I might lose have actually, you know, asked me for tips, like how would you quit drinking, how do you cut down on drinking and stuff. So, you know, it can kind of turn out to go that way instead, because you were very similar to this person. Like you did used to like going out and getting fucked all the time, and now you've kind of changed, and maybe they look at that and think like, oh, maybe I'd like a slice of that life.
Yeah.
It's a good life. See, this is the thing, so many people out there, and if anyone's listening who's wondering, what if I lose friends? A lot of the time, people respect it so much that they think, fuck me, I want to be like this person. I wish I could do that. I'm going to talk to this person, figure out how are they doing it, because I might want to try this too. And even if they don't want to try it, at the very least, they respect it. You know, my friends who live down south, again, I don't live in the same like city as them anymore. When I first like mentioned them, yeah, man, not drinking no more, not smoking no more. Like, we're not doing this. I'm sober now. I did expect some of them to be like, what the fuck? And maybe they were a little bit, just taking the piss out of me, as boys do. Boys, if you are listening, I love you all. But no, honestly, every single one of them has just said to me, that's amazing, mate. Like, seriously, really well done. Like, good for you, you know?
Yeah, and if they, if people don't support you, then they're not really your friends, are they?
Then fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah. No, it opens so many more doors than it closes going sober.
Definitely. Yeah. Hi, this is Ben from Over the Influence, and I just wanted to take this opportunity in the middle of another fabulous episode of Over the Influence to tell you that I'd really like to meet you face to face. Well, Zoom to Zoom, because every week I host two Zoom calls with members from our fabulous community where we chat about anything and everything, from what we thought about this week's Over the Influence episode to celebrating someone in the community who's just hit a milestone. If you're listening to this on a Monday when it comes out, then we could be chatting tomorrow. I do Zooms every Tuesday morning and Wednesday lunchtime, same time every week. And if you're listening later in the week, then you could be meeting Shaz on Friday night. Or if you're an early bird, you can join her first thing Saturday morning Zoom with lots of other fresh, sober faces. Basically, we're doing these things all throughout the week because we love meeting you and hearing about how you're finding sobriety. So, if you'd like to meet us on Zoom and tell us your story, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk and sign up as an OTI community member now. Of course, by becoming an OTI community member, you're not just getting loads of stuff to help you with your own sobriety, like the Zoom calls, the forums, OTI chat, OTI on the go, the masterclasses, and all the other great things that you get as part of your membership. You're also supporting us and our mission here at Over the Influence, which is to encourage as many people as we can to try giving up alcohol by singing about the joys of sobriety from the rooftop. So if you're thinking of joining us, thank you. If you do join us, even bigger thank you. Look, it's great. Give it a try. And I can't wait to meet you on Zoom.
So we talked in our last episode about like sex and dating and stuff. What do you think, Maze? Like, do you think about that as a kind of difficult thing, or, you know, are you excited about it when sober, or is it like something that you only really did when you were drinking, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, I recently broke up with my boyfriend. And I got sober before we broke up. So I guess I have kind of got back into it. And I've met someone, and I thought it would be a lot harder than it has been, but it has actually like gone a lot better than I thought it would be. And it's actually like quite easy to like just meet up with people and without having a drink and embarrassing yourself.
Yeah, I definitely have. Do you have any like stories or any, do you remember any times when you were like drunk and you were, like were on a date or whatever and ended up really embarrassing yourself?
Oh, good.
You definitely do. If anyone, like, you can't see the look on her face now. She's like, oh God.
Yeah, I can think of one story. So I got taken on a date to this really nice restaurant, and then we ended up going out clubbing after, and I got really drunk. And I don't know what happened after that, but I ended up kissing the wrong person right in front of him.
By accident.
I did not expect that.
That's because I was just really drunk and I was just like...
Was it just some random person that you haven't even spoke to? You just thought it was him, turn around, kiss him. Oh shit, wrong person, my bad.
I don't know what was going through my head, but I kissed the wrong person. And then the person I was with was like, got really annoyed at me. And then we ended up making up after that, but...
What, you made up after?
What, yeah, thanks to him. Jesus. That's funny.
Fuck it.
That's really funny. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think the dating scene, like, there's so much that's slightly awkward about dating and sex and stuff anyway. But, like, the kind of... I think when you're dating, when you're sober, the awkwardness just kind of shifts to something else. Like, there's always going to be awkwardness, whether you're drinking or not. And when you're sober, maybe there's just like a bit more awkwardness in the beginning when you're not really used to each other. But then the awkwardness of like doing something really embarrassing later on in the date is much less likely.
Yeah.
The benefits aren't only just not embarrassing yourself. It's about really being able to connect with the person. Like, mm-hmm. you're not yourself when you're blackout drunk. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if someone likes you when you're getting drunk, do they really like you, or do they just like drunk you? And I'm sure there is similarities between you and drunk you, but if you really want to get to know a person and connect with a person and make a person feel comfortable hanging out with you, if you need alcohol to do that, or if that's your first thought, like, yep, let's go get drunk so that we can do this, I don't know, it might be a sign that maybe you don't even like this person. Like we were saying earlier, like we're doing things, alcohol gives you a tolerance to things that you don't actually like. If you're only liking someone, if you're only with someone and you're always drunk and you think, oh, you know what, as soon as they get sober, I'm going to leave this person. Maybe it's just a better sign that it's like, you know what, maybe I just need to rearrange my priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Joey, you haven't said be your best self yet. Today.
Oh, you're right. You know what, Charlie? I wasn't going to say it this episode because last episode I got laughed at so much for saying be the best version of yourself. So I wasn't even going to say it. But you know what, Maisie? It definitely seems as though you're putting your best foot forward.
Yeah.
I'll say that much. Well done.
Becoming the best Thanks. Version of yourself, for sure.
You are. Yeah.
When I was drinking, I think everyone hated me when I was drinking. Like, everyone definitely prefers me sober. I mean, Charlie could probably agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I won't talk too much about our personal relationship, but I can say, hand on my heart, that I prefer you sober. And you probably think the same about me, you know. I think, I guess it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
we're only, so you're 22 and I'm 24, so I'm just 2 years older. So we kind of like, you know, we obviously, we grew up together. We had like a lot of the same things in life and, you know, the same dad and that kind of thing. And okay, I think all of these things that kind of had an influence on how we ended up drinking, even though we were kind of different when we were growing up, there are a lot of like similarities between us. I think we're both very sensitive people, and I think part of drinking kind of made us feel a bit less sensitive and a bit more sort of invincible and less anxious and that kind of thing. Like, I think we both have that in common.
Yeah, I think we both would get a bit too confident though when we drink.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. Now we can like maybe find a happy medium and get some real confidence that doesn't go too far and make us do things that are very silly. But what I'm just curious, like on a personal level, like what did you think when I got sober? And because obviously that was sort of almost 20 months ago now, so just over a year and a half. When I got sober, did you, you know, feel any kind of way about it? Did you think it was weird? Like, did you think like, oh, I wouldn't do that? Or, you know, kind of how has your perception of my sobriety sort of changed between when I was first sober and now that you're sober as well?
Well, I guess I didn't expect it. Like, it kind of just like came out of nowhere and I was just like, well, that's new. But it did have a massive like impact on me, and I tried for like a while to like be like that, and it didn't work so well for the first over a year. But I guess after going into hospital and stuff and like thinking about your sobriety and stuff and like going through it all, like thinking like how can this help me, it actually like really helped me to actually continue to be sober when I came out of hospital.
That's really good. No, I'm obviously like really glad, and I'm not being like say that I had a great impact on you. Like, that's not what I mean. I just mean like
that's definitely what you were fishing for. You were fishing.
Say how amazing I am. Go on. No. No, I was just curious because I think people can have a perception of what others think of their sobriety and what others think about them going sober, and most of the time it's not like how you expect it. So I just wondered if like your perception of, you know, me or someone else that have been close to you and sober like has changed, because I think when you become sober yourself, you kind of get what they're going on about. Like, you're like, oh, like I kind of get all the shit you were saying to me before, but like I needed to do this for myself to like properly understand it and properly be on board, you know. I just wanted to ask you, Izzy, as well, a bit more about when you were in hospital and sort of early sobriety and how that was for you. Like, what, obviously, say as much as you're comfortable with, but I'm sure like listeners would be really intrigued to kind of know about the process of being in hospital for kind of these sorts of reasons, or, you know, what were kind of the reasons you were in hospital, and what was like your day-to-day life like? What were the processes like? You know, the pros, the cons, that kind of thing.
I guess when I first went into hospital, it was like kind of difficult being sober because everyone in the hospital, because it's psychiatric, they were all a bit like unwell, and there would always be something going on, like in the day or at night, like someone kicking off.
Yeah,
it kind of made it like really hard for me. So I guess the nurse would have to like give me medication just to like chill me out. There was quite a few drug incidents, which were quite bad. I don't know how they managed to sneak in drugs.
Yeah, that's mad. So just to clarify, you're in a psychiatric ward, right, with other people who have got some kind of, you know, they're struggling mentally with something, but obviously you're not allowed to bring drugs and alcohol in, even though there were some incidents.
They were like order food and somehow get them to sneak the drugs into like the food packaging, to the point where the staff were like thinking of like banning like ordering food.
Wow.
That would have been terrible.
To the hospital.
That few people would have ruined it for
everyone. Yeah, no, literally. Yeah. I'd be so fuming. I'd be like, I just want to order some food.
I wasn't so bothered because I wasn't really eating much fast food in hospital because the hospital food was surprisingly good. So
that is surprising.
Yeah, because it was a private hospital, so it was actually pretty good. Even though, like, you literally go outside and you hear someone screaming or something.
Yeah. So was it like a private hospital, but like they had they took in NHS people, like patients.
Yeah, there were NHS wards as well as private wards that people paid for.
Oh, okay. And so you were in the NHS ward with like NHS nurses and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think so. There was like HCAs and like OTs and nurses and stuff.
And what was kind of like a day in the life like?
So we get woken up at around 8:30, 9 to the nurse banging on your door going, medication. You'd have to get up.
What a great way to wake up.
Yeah. You'd have to get up and go and get walk right to the other end of the ward, get your medication. And then what I would do is I'd have some breakfast and a cup of tea. I'd have a shower, and then I would do some reading or like watch some TV. Like in the mornings, I'd because there was TVs in our room, in like cabinets, so we couldn't smash them. I'd watch like Tipping Point in the morning because it was just on the TV.
What a show!
I know. And then after that, lunchtime would be at 12, and then we'd have to take our medication again at 1, and then depending on what day it was, in the afternoon you do like some sort of activity. On a Tuesdays, I think it would be yoga, so they had a yoga instructor and stuff, and it was like really interesting, and you did like baking and all that as well, and gardening.
Sounds great.
And then dinner time was at around 5 p.m. And then we'd do our meds again at 6 o'clock. And then we, in the evenings, we'd find something to do, like we'd probably either just chill out or, because Love Island was on at the time, I'd just go and hide in my room and watch Love Island at 9 o'clock. And then after 9 o'clock, after Love Island, I take my medication at 10. Which would help me sleep, and then by like 11 I'd be asleep. So it was kind of like, it was like repetitive, but like a good kind of repetitive, because you were doing this each day.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool. And did you find that sort of helped you establish a routine that made it easier to cope when you got out of hospital?
Yeah, definitely. Because you don't really have much else to focus on while you're in hospital apart from yourself, do you?
So, while you were there, did anyone, like any supportive staff, any nurses or anyone like that, did anyone talk to you specifically about drinking, going sober, or anything like that? Or was it more for other reasons and that was just on the side?
So when I was like comfortable enough, I tell the nurses and stuff, because there was like quite a few nurses, like for like day and night staff. I made sure they were all aware of like what was going on, and they kind of already knew anyway from the doctor, and they'd kind of just help me think of things to do that would like distract me or like help me to like not want to drink. And when I moved to the other ward, after a month, I the Queen's Platinum Jubilee.
Oh yeah, Classy Jubes.
We had like we had like a party, and like we had like a load of like snacks and like fizzy drinks and stuff, and we'd like sit around like the in the communal area and like play some games and stuff, and it was quite fun. It was weird, obviously, not drinking, but me and this friend I made when I first got into hospital, we got all like a lot of the snacks out of the kitchen and just went and like took them into our rooms because no one else was eating them. So we were just like, oh, we might as well just stock up now.
Well, if no one else is eating it, then you might as well,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you had people around you that not only are in a similar boat, but just the fact that you had people around you to be social with. Do you think that helped quite a lot? Like, you didn't isolate yourself, do you not think? You put yourself out there at least a little bit to sort of talk to people.
I isolated myself at first because obviously I wasn't feeling great. And then when I got more comfortable, I made friends with like a few of the girls, and we had like a female lounge. And if we were like annoyed about something, we'd all just go into the female lounge and just bitch about it.
What mood that is.
like if we just didn't want to be around the guys or anything, we'd just go and sit in there.
I think everywhere should have a female lounge.
There wasn't a male lounge though.
There should have been one for each. But anyway, yeah, I was just gonna ask, like, what would you say to other young people about sober life? Like, what would you say? What advice would you give them? How would you, you know, kind of convince them that it is a magical and worthwhile and fun, not boring life?
I'd say, like, obviously it's really hard at first to quit drinking, and it might seem boring, but after at least 30 days of not drinking, you'll see a massive difference, and you'll actually like look back on like what you used to be like and actually thank yourself for it, because it's actually like one of the greatest things that you'd like anyone could ever do. And that's coming from me, someone who used to drink like all the time.
Same.
Same.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, I never used to think that I could do it, but I managed it somehow.
Here you are, smashing it.
As long as you've got the right people around you, then you'll do great at it.
Maisie, well done. You're amazing. You are definitely becoming the best version of yourself. Okay, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. I said it because it's true, right? I said it because it's true. But seriously, you can be proud of yourself. Like you said, just surround yourself with good people who are supportive of you. Don't isolate yourself too much. It's normal at first to feel that way, but it will get better. It will get easier. We're living proof of that. You're living proof of that. And if you can do something for 30 days, you'll look back and you will be so proud of yourself after what you've overcame. And if you can do it for 100 days, you know, for 101 now, you can do it for the rest of your life. You've got this.
100%. No, I totally agree. And obviously,
give yourself a chance.
I'm so proud of you, and I think you're doing amazing. Obviously, I'm your sister, so I'm slightly biased. But I just think, you know, you're writing a book. Like, you've moved out of home. You've moved house. Like, you've done all this stuff. You know, you're going to London on your own. You're doing things that I didn't think, you know, you'd be comfortable doing. Everything that you've been through and everything that we've been through together. I'm just so proud of us both that we can be, you know, 22 and 24 years old and just sober, loving life and being like, yeah, like, wonder what my life will bring. We've got our whole lives ahead of us, you know, so I'm so proud of you.
And we're still young as well. We can still enjoy our youth without being drunk.
Exactly. You can still enjoy it. Now, Maisie, if someone wants to find you on Instagram or social media, what are your socials? I know you two actually have a page together, don't you, right? Tell us about that real quick.
It's called The Armpit Sisters.
Yes, so at The Armpit Sisters, but Maisie controls the account.
I did give Charlie the details, but she's obviously not logged into it.
No, well, it's not that I don't want to. It's just that, you know, I'm just a very busy woman. But no, it's a great Instagram account, and it's really nice to just have another sober Instagram out there, you know, inspiring others and connecting with people and stuff. So yeah, give Maisie a follow.
Might as well.
Great.
Yeah. That's a good page. I think.
You hope. Well, it's so nice to talk to you, Maze. And I'm really, really, really proud of you, really happy for you. And yeah, just absolutely buzzing. So do you want to lead us out, Joey?
Sure thing. Maisie, thank you so much for coming on. Charlie, you did a great job as well. I like to think I did too. But I'm not fishing for the compliments, so don't worry about it. Yeah, we are Over the Influence. We're young and sober. We take over this podcast once a month. Give us a follow on Instagram. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Peace.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Sharon from Over the Influence. And if you love this, our free podcast, then I'd love you to give our premium podcast a try. So the feedback from our members is that it's unfiltered and funny. And if you sign up now, you've got a whole back catalogue of episodes to go at. There are no guests on the premium pod. It is just us talking about all things booze-free. The good, the bad, and the sometimes downright ugly. It is cheap as chips, and it will only cost you a fiver a month. So if you would like an extra dose of Over the Influence in your ears, just head to overtheinfluence.supercast.com. Or if you fancy joining our online community, which would cost you a fiver a week, you'll get the premium pod as part of your membership with us. And if we do say so ourselves, it is one of the most friendliest, supportive places on the internet. You can find out all about what we do overtheinfluence.co.uk. Get involved. It's all about you.